Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulamar surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brennan Tassif, joined as always by my co-host and super good best friend ever, Joe Dorville. What's up, man?
What's going on, Brennan? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. We are recording during the day, as you can tell by my enthusiasm. We're going to have a tight show, tight show. So we're going to do the kickoff. We'll talk about all the major things. NFL free agency officially kicked off today, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about there. We are going to touch on the NBA as well. Then we will get into the quick hits, quick, and everyone's quick favorite thing, Fulham Corner. And then we will peddle our wares in the press box. But let's get it right into it, Joe.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
All right. We are going to start with the NBA because it is the NBA's time right now, even though NFL free agency did kick off. Couple of things. Week of March 10th, SGA, dominant performance over your Denver Nuggets the other night. Do you think, even though the Joker had the best triple-double in the history of the NBA?
30-20-20, some that's never been done before.
And he actually had a double-double going into the third quarter and then got another double-double in
triple-double.
The third and the fourth. Yeah, triple-double, excuse me.
Yeah.
So he is obviously, the Joker's the best player in the NBA. But yeah, there's a lot of talk about narratives and SGA and this whole thing. So do you think it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's award to lose?
I think SGA is going to win it. But I want to talk about this game. This game is utter and complete bullshit. Disgusted by the NBA's product in this game. Chet Holmgren, with about 9 to 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, had 5 fouls. Russell Westbrook is driving the lane, left side of the lane. He gets smacked in the face by Chet Holmgren and his long extremities. Can't control himself. Smacks Russ in the face. Russ collapses to the ground. Me in the telecast thought Russ, obviously, like, oh my gosh, this looked like a non-contact. Did he just blow out his knee? Like, what? And then we see the replay and you see him get smacked upside the face. And a referee is standing right there.
No call.
No call. Chet Holmgren would have got his 6th foul. He would have been out for the rest of the game. Changed the whole landscape of the game. Instead, they go down to the other side with a 4-on-5. Chet Holmgren gets a dunk. Mike Malone loses his mind. He gets teched. So what was a 5-point game at that time becomes a 9-point game. And then later on, SGA re-enters the game with a lead instead of potentially in a deficit, which it could have been, especially if Chet would have been out. But anyways, that's besides the point. We got robbed. Also, Eric Gordon never made it out of the first quarter. Yeah, SGA is going to win this. It's his at this point. They have the number one seed in the Western Conference. That was kind of the thing last year, but Jokic was having an unbelievable year, which he's having again.
I think you can't deny these.
I think similar like how Lamar Jackson won it last year and then had an even better season this year, but they just had to give one to Josh because if not, it's just going to be the Lamar Jackson award because it feels like he's never going to not be spectacular at this point. You have to, it's why they didn't give it to LeBron when he was playing his first year for the Heat. It's why Jordan didn't win it every year. It's like, all right, we could just say, you know, this guy is the most dominant player to walk the earth, and he's maybe one of the top 5 players, and we just give him every award, or we can reward somebody having also a very impressive season for a team that's number one in that same conference, and he's now beat them in, I want to say, 2 out of the 3 matchups they've had this season. So, yeah. So we play again today. Also, so
it's another thing, too, because honestly, and this is just a case for Joker, but I think if you take the Joker out of Denver, it's going to have much more of an impact of if you took SGA out of OKC. If that makes sense. I think the Joker makes the players around him better.
I think they both have severe impacts. I think what you're trying to say is the Nuggets basically crater in a nosedive. I don't know necessarily. Yeah, like, I know all the numbers kind of what where, I'm like, I know the numbers like, oh, when Jokic is not on the court, the team is the plus minus not that good, drastic. And everything. But I think that also is predicated on, like, the kind of the whole system right now is designed around Jokic to touch the ball every time. So if for, you know, say Jokic missed like 20 games, I think the coaches will come up with a scheme that would benefit that. That's more true. So right now they're just like, all right, let's be even through these minutes where he's not there. And then he takes us to another level anyways.
No, that's 100% accurate because the Joker is the pivot point in the entire offense because he's out there. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, to your point, if they were like, oh, he's going to miss 2 months, then they would be like, all right, then Jamal Murray, let's go. Christian Brown, let's go. And I guess it is because they have Chet, who was such a high pick that I think, okay, see, I'm like, yeah, but you'd still be fine. Like SGA was a trade.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jamal Williams, too.
Now, I don't know if those guys would be as good because I think a lot of their pieces are predicated on SGA being similarly, like he's a son. And if you have to commit 2 to 3 guys, there were so many times while watching this game yesterday where the Nuggets are leaving somebody open because somebody's helping on SGA. So yeah, that extra pass can be made to find a Jalen Williams or Isaiah Joe or somebody or a Caruso, and they get like a wide open shot. And it's like, damn, we are committing so much to SGA, and rightfully so, because he has such a clean, pure game where every time it feels like every time he's putting it up, it's going in.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Speaking of putting it up and it going in.
Ooh.
I want to talk to you about Steph Curry and the Golden State. Are you eating Pokey Sticks right now?
I am.
Steph Curry.
Is that coming through?
No.
I'm trying to chew real slow.
I saw you pull them out. And I was like, is that a cigarette? What's he got? And then I saw you start eating. And I go, oh, I know what that is. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. The trade happened. We talked about it last week. They looked really, really good. And I thought they would kind of fizzle out. I thought it was like a, you know, new phone, who dis kind of thing. But they've maintained. And Steph has been playing out of his mind in the last 2 weeks. So do you think this is kind of basically the same thing we talked about last week? Is this a blip or is this something that like now they're ready to rock for the playoffs?
Before we get to that, I do want to shout out Steph Curry, who has accepted the role as assistant GM for Davidson, by the way. So that's something. But I think this is something. How does it fare in the postseason? I don't know. But that's the same, you know, questions I have for the Lakers. But these two teams being relevant, I think, are very important for the NBA at this point because some of the new guys who were supposed to emerge have not made that full leap yet. You have Wemby, who got hurt and he's out for the rest of the season. Anthony Davis and that team has kind of haven't lived up to the expectations that they, you know, put on themselves after last year at post this cat trade. They haven't looked as the same like level of dominance or level of menace or competing for that top seed last year. You got to remember it was OKC, Minnesota and Denver all fighting for the number one seed. And Minnesota has been in the bottom half of it this year. So having that face like LeBron, having that face like Steph, especially coming off of that Olympic run they just went on and the Olympic doc that had just got released and everything, having two of those marquee names that could find themselves playing against each other in the postseason, which is, if we are to think about it, it's not in the same way because nothing is the same as it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. But LeBron versus Steph is essentially our version of Magic and Bird. Like, those guys met 4 times in the postseason. Now, it's unfortunate that Kevin Durant was there for 2 of those. But then you had, playing games where LeBron knocks out Steph or Steph, you know, knocks out LeBron. Like, these guys' careers are inextricably linked together. So I think even if, you know, it's not a title run or anything, I hope the Warriors, you know, are good and, you know, they have good playoff series and you know, we have a lot of seven games and we get to see Steph go crazy and appreciate, you know, these guys in their twilight stages of their careers because the NBA is going to be in a soul searching area soon enough once they decide to leave. And, you know, Americans are going to stop having to think of the NBA and basketball like, oh, we need an American face. Like, this is an international game. Like, sorry, I'm about to go on a tangent. We need the whole conversation of, oh, but the ratings. Like, this is a global sport. The USA ratings are only telling part of the story. It's absolutely. NBA is soccer. NBA is soccer. Like,
it's so big in China is being and overseas.
It's getting seen in so many different markets. Like, okay, the NBA ratings are down. Fine. It's up everywhere else across the board. People are staying up in different countries to watch these games. Like, it's the league is in by far one of the healthiest places it's been. Maybe not here. And maybe that's something we need to look at and ask ourselves, why is that? You know, there's many different things you can point to, how the league has been politicized in some ways, in the inverse of how hockey has been politicized in certain ways, and what that means in a league full of black guys in a country that is literally rejecting the notion of DEI and giving people opportunities. But across the board, across the world, the NBA is in one of the healthiest places it's been. But they're going to have to find their torchbearer, and that's going to be a Wemby, a Jokic, a
Cooper Flagg.
Giannis, a Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg, he's going to get all the white people back, but don't sleep on him.
Cooper Flagg.
Kid from Maine? Come on now.
White kid from Maine? Honestly,
kid from
when they
Maine
were
that went to Duke? Come on.
When they were talking about Cooper Flagg originally. Yeah, when they were talking about Cooper Flagg originally, just because it's the NBA, it's basketball, I just assumed that he wasn't a white kid. And I was like, Cooper's an odd name for like a black dude who's going to go number one. Like
guys,
Cooper?
White.
That's
white.
Such a white name.
Baller.
And I saw him and I was like, okay, checks out. White kid.
He's like,
Maine.
That's
totally
a Cooper.
Checks out. Yeah, that is a Cooper.
That is 100% a Cooper.
We're talking about some of the teams that are on the upswing, but let's talk about it. The Mavs, devastated by injuries. Obviously, Anthony Davis was having an awesome game. He's out. It was his first game, wasn't it, for the Mavs?
It was his first game, yeah.
He scored like 25 points. He had like 12or 13 rebounds going into the third quarter.
Went down at the start of the third.
Yeah,
the end of the third, start of the fourth, basically.
Yeah, and he's out. And then Kyrie Irving, the torchbearer, as alluded to earlier, for the Dallas Mavericks team, now that Luka Doncic is out, goes down. Torn ACL. In basketball, that's a year and a half. Because, I mean, the timing is everything. So it happens towards the end of this season. So he's going to miss pretty much all of next season. And even when he comes back, he's not going to be totally right because you rely so much on your MCL
it takes
and your
a lot
ACL
to adjust.
Basketball. Yeah.
Especially with a game like his, all that movement, the fluidity of his movement.
100%. That's his whole thing. Where are the Mavs at? Are we, I guess we just got to blow it up or we try to get everyone back healthy next year? Like
It's so unfortunate. Like to trade Luka, and have the GM say, well, Kyrie is going to be the offensive force and Anthony Davis is going to be the defensive force. And then Anthony Davis go down immediately. And the accumulation of minutes and the demand on Kyrie Irving in those minutes, because it was very funny. I was listening to Amin Al-Hassan and Izzy Gutierrez the other day, and they were like, yeah, it's not that he's playing 40 minutes. It's the type of 40 minutes. Like, you could have a Rui Hachimura out there playing 40 minutes, and it's not the same as LeBron playing 40 minutes because the amount of attention, the amount of decision-making, the amount of cutting, the amount of bodies coming at you, like, it's a more wear and tear on somebody at that level. So Kyrie going down, it's like somehow they're still holding on to the fifth spot. Not somehow, because the Suns can't win, apparently. They just refuse to win. They beat the Mavs yesterday, but outside of that, man, But yeah, they're going to obviously, I think last week we said, we think the Kings and the Mavs might stick around in the 9-10. And then Kyrie goes down like that night, I want to say, like Monday last week. So yeah, I don't know if it's a blow it up situation, but you know who won't be there to find out? Nico Harrison. I think your days here are numbered, boy. You this might make it past next year. But beyond that, I cannot guarantee your employment.
This is kind of crazy because Cuban just came out and was like, you know, this is one of the reasons I sold was
Mark Cuban, because, by the way.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, former owner Not of just the Mavericks.
The Cuban government.
Listen to me, man. We sold the team, man.
Who is that? Is that Fidel?
Tony.
Oh, okay. Tony Montana. I was like, what the heck?
But so he came out and was like, this is the reason I sold, blah, blah, blah. But it was weird because when he sold the team, he had like all these like legalities about how he'll still be in charge of basketball operations and all this kind of stuff. And he skated. Nobody even mentioned. I just heard someone mention him today or yesterday about the
because
Luka
all
thing.
That was BS. Like you're not you don't sell a majority share and retain rights to decision make. Like you're not like he kind of just said that and people kind of let him coast on it. And then like, as soon as decisions start to be made, it's like, well, we know he's not in charge.
Actually, I have nothing to do with this. But it is an interesting situation because I've never seen in all the years I've followed basketball and watched basketball, I have never seen a team like I've never seen a team do this to a fan base, except for when Seattle, like just me personally, except when Seattle left, the Supersonics left Seattle. That was the last time where I was like, how could they just do this to the fans? Because the people in Seattle loved the Supersonics.
Are we but they left- leaving this to just basketball?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying just in the NBA.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've seen it in the NFL for sure. And we've seen
it
in
other sports.
Yeah,
I was going to say the Rams leaving San Diego.
Yeah, the Rams left. The Browns left. Like, we've seen it a bunch, especially with the Browns, because that was one of the things where, like, people in Cleveland, their heart and soul was the Browns. But just in the NBA, like, to trade your star player and then for the two stars that you have to both get hurt in season-ending injuries, this is catastrophic. Like, Nico Harrison is going to be the scapegoat.
Meets
but it's,
injury? What's that phrase? Add insult to injury?
Yeah, adding insult to injury. But it's,
I think it's the
this
inverse.
is the worst. We've seen teams blow it up and trust the process. We've seen all that. But this was by design.
It's not even, like, there's that side of it. But then it's like, damn, Luka's looking really good for the Lakers right now, too. On top of that, the guy we traded because he can't stay in shape or whatever looks good on the court.
Yeah.
Winning games. So,
well, I know I brought it up when he said it, but Russillo had the best take on it. He goes, I don't care if Luka's smoking a cigarette, bringing the ball up. You don't trade him.
You don't move. It's
yeah. So I feel terrible for Mavs fans. And now with the new second and third aprons and all this kind of stuff, it's not like the old days where you could just like tuck tail and run. You could just trade off everything, get picks. Like you can't
stuck
do that
in a holding pattern now.
Yeah. You're just stuck. All right. Moving on. Sounder, no sounder, baby.
You didn't give me a cue. You just said it, so I wasn't prepared.
I know. That's why I gave it a second. And then I was like, should we just go? So we're talking NFL free agency. A lot of stuff happening. We're running a tight show today. So, Joe, there's big money contracts. Myles Garrett, Josh Allen, Max Crosby. Which one do you want to touch on?
I want to get to all of them quickly as we can. Myles Garrett, he said he wanted to go to a winner. He settled for all the money in the world. And you know what? Not even gonna hate on him. When if you get
150 million guaranteed,
143. So yeah, that's on top of the contract he had, which obviously he's gonna see through now. So I think it ends up totaling at 204, effectively all guaranteed, because 143 is all guaranteed. That new contract he got is all guaranteed. So yeah, he's getting 204 over the next 4 years, all guaranteed, $40 million per. What a great job by his agent. Who is a black woman who also represents Jalen Hurts. So shout out to her. I think it's Nicole Lynn. I want to say it's her name.
Shout out. Josh Allen, my guy, my number one fantasy pick or second round fantasy pick every single year. $330 million, 6 year extension, $250 guaranteed. So Buffalo's got their quarterback. They're going to be set. And then
My only question on that one is, did he even start his new contract yet?
No.
I was like, wait, had he even started his non-rookie deal yet?
Allen, yeah, no, so he has his non-rookie deal.
I know he got it, but how many years was he on?
He has 4 years left on the current deal.
Okay, so this year was the first year of that new deal.
Yes.
So now that season's over, he has four more years. So now they just locked him up for 10 years. They just Patrick Mahomes, basically.
No, so I guess they scrapped the old deal, and now they have him because it just says he'll now be with the team through 2030. So I guess they scrapped the old deal and did a new one.
Oh, okay. That's
so instead of him having 3 years left on the new deal, they scrapped
it's that. Added like 2 years.
He's got six. Yeah, they basically added 2 years for $230 million, but it shakes out to 6 year deal, $230 million guaranteed or $330 million $250 million guaranteed, which is an insane amount. I'm happy for Buffalo though. That's where you got to put the money. Yeah. He's the. Yeah.
They looked at Luka and they were like, "We're not letting him walk."
He is that entire franchise. I mean, going into last year, I had him ranked pretty high in my power rankings, but I remember looking at their roster being like, they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
Except Josh Allen.
So,
and James. All right, third one, Max Crosby.
Max Crosby got himself a really good lucrative deal. He set the market right before Myles Garrett reset the market. Good for him, man. Max Crosby, from all I've seen, good dude. Great player. So happy for him to get paid. Sucks that he sucks. He's on a team that sucks, same as Myles Garrett. But unlike offensive players and mainly quarterbacks, at the end of a DN's career, no one's going to say, well, how many rings did he get? It's like, no. How many sacks did you get? How many games did you impact? What was your impact on the game? Like, so if he can keep that level of impact that got him that money, I think he's going to be just fine. And he gets to stay in Las Vegas. Not a bad place to stay.
Yeah, so the new five-year deal replaces the 2 years remaining on his prior contract. So it is $64 million fully guaranteed through 2026. Oh, I'm sorry. 3 year extension, base value of $106 million. So let's go. Let's go.
Geno all right. Traded to the Raiders.
Geno traded.
Brennan, thoughts?
Yeah, he's back with Pete Carroll. So there's a bunch of stuff happening trades wise. Geno goes to the Raiders. DK goes to the Steelers. Devontae Adams goes to the Rams. Geno is my biggest one. Obviously, he's a quarterback. I think he's going to be great in that Chip Kelly offense because he's mobile enough, even though he's a passer first, but he's mobile enough, which is what the Chip Kelly offense kind of predicates itself on. Also, the Raiders are now going to run the damn ball, hopefully. Not in a conventional sense because Chip doesn't do anything conventional, but he is very heavily based in options and RPOs and running the ball. So that'll be good. What did you think about Geno?
I was confused because Seattle made a lot of moves. Seattle basically imploded their entire offense. They cut Tyler Lockett, who then retired. Right after that, DK asks for a trade or is granted. I love that's the new thing. They're granted permission to seek a trade. And then out of the blue, Geno gets traded. And I think reports later came that they tried to assign him to a 2 year extension worth about 40 to 45 mil. He turned it down, so they opted to move him. I don't want to say this is a good holding pattern for the Raiders because you don't want to be stuck in a holding pattern. But this is fine. I wonder
it's better than last year.
It's better than last year, for sure. And they have Brock Bowers, who's really good. And Jacoby Myers was a 1,000-yard receiver. I wonder if they end up doing what the Falcons did and, are like, all right, we have Geno in place. We can go get Shador to kind of sit behind him, maybe. Or do they go get a player that's going to make them better now and they think that Geno can help them now? It's going to be interesting to see the rest of their offseason continue.
This reminds me a little bit of the Kirk Cousins situation with Washington, where they were like trying to sign. They were like, well, we think you're good, but we don't think you're the guy. So they're trying to sign him to all these like ticky-tack deals. And Kirk was like, no, I'm not doing it. So good on Geno for being like, no, I'm the guy. So you either sign me to a six-year deal or you trade me. Like, I'm not doing this one for one where it's 2 years, but technically only 1 year guarantee. They could cut you after this first year. Like, so good on Geno for being like, no, nah, I'm good, man. DK to the Steelers is crazy in the sense that the Steelers are, I mean, they need George Pickens, we say it all the time, can't catch possession catches, but then we'll do some spectacular thing in the end zone. I think DK
only makes spectacular catches.
Yeah, only. That's all we do here. I think DK will kind of balance that out. He's not, by no means is he strictly a possession receiver, but I think he gives a huge target to whoever they decide to be quarterback. And I think this is going to go a long way for that Steelers offense, which we saw imploded last year in the defense, followed shortly behind it because they were like, well, if we can't score 12 points, what the fuck are we playing for?
I was going to say, and then that they had that period of time where they were without Pickens and they could not get anything going.
Yeah.
That makes that very interesting. Davante Adams to the Raiders. So the Rams.
Back to
Cooper
the Raiders.
Cooper Kupp replacement. They're still trying to move Cooper Kupp. We'll see what happens there. I heard some rumblings. Depends on what you're looking for in a receiver.
That's true.
I was about to say he's an upgrade is if you're looking for like a downfield target,
big playability,
somebody that has to be doubled and not bracketed. Those are two different things.
Look at you knowing the difference.
Just saying. Yeah, I listen to a lot of pods. Mina Kimes, Dominic Foxworth, shout out to Ben Solak, Nate Tice. Bye-bye, Joe.
Ben Solak. I'm so glad. I'm so mad he left the Ringer. I don't get to hear him as much.
Solak? Yeah, he's on ESPN now. But yeah, so I think he adds a different dimension and it's going to help Puka Nacua as well.
So you have the possession receiver already. You already have the guy.
Yeah, it was a redundant skill set with Kupp and Puka.
It's a redundant skill set. Yeah, 100%. So Davante Adams can open up the field. I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
I know. And Chris, you added on here, Chris Godwin got re-signed by the Bucks, so his career is not over after that devastating knee injury that we all thought was that might be the end for him. But the Bucks, to their credit, a good organization, sometimes loyal to a fault, but they stuck by their guy with this one, so I really like that by them.
Yeah, speaking of loyal to a fault, they reintroduced Coach.
Yeah, they did.
Gruden.
And I'm very upset with the Miami Hurricanes because he's going to be they often have like ex coaches come in and like help during springtime and whatnot, and they're bringing him and I'm like, why are we doing so everybody, I would say Barstool signed, I think Barstool signed him and everybody was like, ah, come on, it's Coach Spider-Y Banana, what are we doing? He said the black guy had tires for lifts. It's not really racist. He was just making a dumb joke.
Yeah, how we doing? I'm super happy for Chris Godwin. You don't see this a lot in the NFL normally when someone has a devastating injury. And I reference it all the time. There's that social media video that went viral of like a close-up on him literally saying to the trainer, my career is over. My career is over. And to get signed, it's like a $66 million deal. I'm super excited for him. He was a fantastic wide receiver. He was riddled by injury early in his career, but really broke through the last couple of years. And then to have that devastating dislocation and then to come back and still get re-signed, get some guaranteed money. Happy for the Bucks. Looking out for your boy. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You'll be surprised how quick.
Quick. Name it. Hits.
Quick hit.
We are just keeping pace, baby.
Yes, we are. But again, we are running out of time. So I will shout out the one thing I do know about hockey right now is the Panthers have traded for Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand.
Yeah, you guys got a little bit of
a guy that.
It was big news. I walked into work and the one guy who likes hockey was like, did you see the trade?
A guy that we didn't like for like the last 2 years and we made fun of as the Panthers have been kicking the asses of the Boston Bruins. We just traded for him. So. The Panthers are shaping up to be the most hated team with him, Matthew Tkachuk, Sam Bennett. People going to hate us, man. And you know what? I kind of like it. He's going to miss most of the season because he was already dealing with an injury. So this is really – he's going to miss a lot of the regular season. And we're really more so looking at him for the postseason, which is interesting. Brendan, we took one of your guys' tricks, though. You saw what we did there? You saw what we did
No.
there?
Oh, so, the IR thing? Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, so because Chucky's on the IR, we could bring in Brad Marchand, and then in the postseason, IR and salary caps don't matter. So, y'all, we learned from the best, you know? We learned from the best.
We won a Stanley Cup doing that.
It should did.
This is breaking news. I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, is that what you were showing?
That's
why
I wasn't holding up to light you. No, breaking news. We were just wondering what the Seahawks were going to do at quarterback. No, the Seahawks have.
Oh, let me guess. Is it Sam?
Sammy baby. Sam Darnold. 3-year deal, $110 million, 55 guaranteed, resetting as Baker Mayfield did the quarterback middle class. The Seattle Seahawks have their quarterback.
That is so funny because the other day, so Mina Kimes, known Seahawks fan, she was like, when Geno asked for the trade, no, when Geno got traded, because he didn't ask for the trade. When Geno got traded, she was like, I did all that pumping up Sam Darnold. And now he's going to end up being the Seahawks quarterback.
Now you're going to root for Sam Darnold, baby.
It's like, oh, man. She's like, what did it cost? It was one of those, like, what did it cost? Everything.
Just real quick, though, this is a surprising number to see because if you take those last two games out of it, he was looking at, like, Josh Allen money.
Yeah. Not Josh Allen money. Wait a second.
I'm talking about Josh Hines Allen. Okay. No, but I was thinking he was looking at like a 5-year, $250 million contract, maybe.
What?
You know, 200 guaranteed.
No.
You know, no. I'm saying you can't get those last two games out of our heads. No. Like this is.
With those two games, there was no point in me that was like, this guy is a starter for somebody's foreseeable future. It was always in my mind, 3 years. 90 mil, maybe 100 mil. That's it.
Yeah, no. 3 years, 110, 55 guaranteed. So we'll see what happens. But shocking. There you go, Mina. There you go, Greg Horlbeck. You guys got your guy now.
That really sucks for them.
All right, time for everyone's favorite segment in the whole wide world.
Oh, this was a tough one.
We're going to talk soccer, baby. Fulham Corner. Take it away, Joe. Disheartening week.
Yeah, this was a tough one. So Fulham goes over to the Amex. That's where Brighton Hove Albion plays. They play at American Express Stadium. And we got a goal relatively early. I can't remember at what point in the game. But a great pass from Alex Iwobi over to Raul Jimenez. Jimenez knocks one into the back of the net to get his 10th goal of the season. Really good stuff. Unfortunately, soon thereafter, we gave one up to them. I can't really even remember the play now that I'm thinking about it. But we gave one to them before the end of the half. And then it was pretty much nose. We were locked. I'm thinking of the horns, like Rams when they get loggerheads. That's what I'm thinking of. We were at loggerheads for the rest of the game, for the rest of the match. 1-1 all the way. 5 minutes of extra time get added to the game. And, oh, yeah, they had that free kick. That's how they got their first goal, which I saw online. I saw some shots. Should have been offside called there, but that's besides the point. In the 5 minutes of extra time, in the 95th minute, they are in the attacking position. If the ball goes out, it's pretty much the end of the game. And the ball is in their penalty area. It's loose. Harrison Reed goes and gets the first touch on it. Juan Pedro is behind him, efforting for the ball. And Joakim Andersen is behind him. I know, Joao to Joakim, crazy, right? And gives him just a little forearm touch to the back, little sliver of the back, and he falls like he's gotten shot by American Sniper himself, Bradley Cooper, who was in the first episode of Righteous Gemstone. And he goes down.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't ruin it.
Sorry. And they called the most ticky-tack penalty there. It's a foul in the box, so they call the foul. They give up the pen. and they get to score in the 95th minute where time is pretty much done. So 98th minute, it's an extra time because of all the, you know, complaining everybody started doing, but very disheartening, very unfortunate L where we could have got a point out of that, but now we walk away with nothing because the referee was a punk-ass little bitch.
Punk-ass little bitch. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields, we were all wondering, is he going to stay with Pittsburgh or is he going to go? There's rumblings about them not re-signing Russell Wilson, and they'll probably just re-sign Justin Fields. No, they will not. Justin Fields, your New York Jets.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Giants.
No, New York Jets. Sign him for a 2-year deal. Jags made a bunch of moves, none of worth noting.
So does Russ stay, or a lot of people are rumoring?
Rodgers. It's
Rodgers. Does Rodgers go there now?
It's going to be Rodgers.
I don't know, man. Rodgers with Tomlin, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know, Jim.
Speaking of Gruden going to Miami again,
I will bring you the press conference in its entirety.
That was Romo and Nance. It's Romo and Nance.
What? No, I was saying, I was saying the I'm not a racist, but you have a lot of underlying things that show that you're a racist.
Yeah, Roger.
Imagine Mike Tomlin trying to tell him something. Oh, God. Anyway, Joe, where can we find you?
You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. You can find this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Hearing Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does the Pod. We're doing Waitress the Musical, which is on Max right now. And Anulo itself. The big show. So don't forget to check out those shows. HeadphoneJoe.etsy.com, Headphone Joe on all your streaming platforms to get the music itself. Brennan, where can we find you?
At Brennan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Get your tickets for the Bro Jason tour. I'll be featuring for my very good friend Matt Fulcheron. We'll be in Connecticut, Boston.
Not Atlanta.
A lot of dates in Florida. Not Atlanta. I'm going to try and jump on the Laughing Skull, though. Maybe they got a late show after the wedding. And then I will be in Los Angeles March 19th through the 22nd. Come see me at the Riff Raff at the world famous comedy store in the Belly Room. Late show Saturday, March 22nd at midnight, baby.
Midnight comes a little faster. All right, Brendan, let's get out of here. I got some work to do. You got places to be.
All right, and that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. I've been watching this show called Shorzy on Hulu about hockey. Good fucking show, man. It's a really good show.
Shout out Gary.
Love you, man. Shout out Gary. Also the Celtics documentary.